There's two types of teammates. You're either making your culture better and lifting it, or you're pushing your culture down by how you show up on a daily basis. There's no in between. You can't be invisible. Yeah. You can't sit in the middle. Yeah. There's no in the middle when it comes to team culture. You're either lifting or you're bringing down. What type of teammate, what type of person are you?
I'm really glad to share a recent conversation I had with Dr. Pete Patsiorek, also known as Coach Pete. He is the head of leadership and character development at the prestigious IMG Academy, and also a former baseball player. So Pete is an absolute gent of a person. He speaks with real honesty, warmth and integrity, and everything he does with the best intention to try and make the world a better place, try and support you to make your world a better place. So if you're interested in performing better, if you're interested in doing better, if you're interested in knowing more about yourself, knowing more about others, understanding more about character, this is the conversation that you need to listen to. We explore and we have conversation around four domains of character: strategies for intentionally building culture, supporting the younger generations and development, prioritizing relationships, and also we share a model, the primed model for success. So we, the conversation is rich with insights, and I really got a lot from it, and I hope you do too. So I'm going to hand the conversation over, guys, and I look forward to seeing you on the other side. For me, it's kind of your powerful example of how to give back, but to do so in a way that it leaves a long, sustained, long-lasting, lifelong impact, right? And I think you've experienced that as well. And I think through your experiences of, you know, being on the receiving end of that, you don't want to be actually the person that's enabling that within other people, specifically younger generation, but also I think other people around you as adults as well would feel an impact, a sustained impact and positive impact from being close to you, right? So I think a good place to start might be kind of where we were just before we came online here, was kind of talking about those people that have, you know, really supported you and shining a light in your character and bringing your character to where it is now in your journey. So there are some people I know that have made a huge impact. So maybe what was it? Can you tell us more about that, Peter?
Yeah, sure. Stephen, thank you for that question. I think for all of us to reflect back on people who have helped us get to where we are today, I think is very important. I talk to our youth about student athletes, high school student athletes, collegiate student athletes, about the importance of building a network of mentors. I was fortunate growing up to have a father. My mom passed away when I was 12 years old, and she was so impactful in my life. One of the most impactful people. I only had her in my life until I was 12, but today I feel her presence with me, and she's a big part of who I am. And then my dad, a single dad raising five children, doing the best he could. He was a PE coach his whole life after playing in the major leagues, and his story is really unique. He only played in one game in the major leagues, and his career got cut short because of an injury. But he was a major leaguer, played at the highest level. But then he went on to coach for 50 years. He coached me and my brother's team, my brothers and sisters' teams growing up, and just a huge impact in my life as my father. And then just amazing coaches that I had, educators that I had. And so to be back at IMG Academy, giving back to our student athletes, we have over 1,500 full-time student athletes, and we have another 12,000, 13,000 who come through IMG for a week or two or three during the summer, during winter breaks. So we have a chance to impact close to 15,000 lives. And for me, as the head of leadership and character development, I feel like it's a prime opportunity for me to give back to our youth and help them grow in their character.
Yeah. As I said, you must be a busy man, right? But all of those individuals and those characters coming through, right, and you helping them, you know, be a little bit better as they come out to the side, you know, and definitely no doubt they are. So Peter, just, you mentioned that your mother passed away when you were 12, right, and I can't imagine how hard that was. Just in terms of some listeners that might be listening in that might have lost someone significant really in their lives at a young age, or maybe going through that now as adults, like, can you share any insight into, you know, what that was like, but how you kind of over time dealt with it, kind of, you know, and so you reflect back on the learnings now in terms of what she left with you, and she's present right now with you, and, you know, and her character. So can you just kind of share something there that I know you've you've worked on.
Sure. Thank you, Stephen, for following up on that question, because my mom was so impactful in my life. And like you said, there may be listeners of any age who are going through a tough time losing somebody close to them. So I think as coaches or educators, I think it's important for us to be vulnerable. So when I work with our student athletes here at IMG Academy, whether it's high school athletes, working with NFL high-level athletes like NFL players, as well as middle school and younger, is to share that, to share my story, to be vulnerable. You know, sometimes life's going to be hard, but you know that you have people around you. You have other people around you, your family, your siblings, coaches. That's where a coach can be. Coaches can be some of the most impactful individuals in young people's lives. I mean, they can. Yeah. You think back to stories of that adults who have had success. A lot of them reflect back on, and they attribute their success to a coach that they had growing up. You know, somebody there in their life and.
Yeah, resonates for me, Peter. Yeah, honestly, my sporting journey, and I know it's not just sport, right? This is any coach in any sense, even a teacher in school, right? We all have those people in our lives. If you've got somebody that's, you know, really caring for you and sees, you know, wants to develop you from an authentic point of view and believes in you, I mean, it can really travel your whole life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually working on, so I wrote a book a while back in 2017, and it's called Character Loves Company, and it's all about helping coaches or educators work through different values and emphasize different values throughout their practices, throughout their seasons. And I always talk about, you have to be deliberate and intentional about that as an educator, realizing that you have a prime opportunity to impact young people's lives. But if your focus is only on winning the game, then you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities.
Which is a lot of the case, Peter, right? I mean, not like a lot of the, I would say, you probably know the figures in this one, right? But more often than not, you know, you'd have coaches that are very outcome-orientated, result-orientated, and kind of, you know, don't miss the opportunities to see the person and, you know, bring them on. And ultimately, that is going to lead to a better outcome, you know? So it's kind of, ultimately, it all leads to the same thing, right? Better performance.
Absolutely. And yeah, there is a direct correlation in my research and my studies on character education. There's a direct correlation between success and performance and character, because you're typically going to be more driven. You're going to be more focused. You're going to be more disciplined. You're going to be more committed to your team. And so all those values make for a higher performer as well.
Yeah. Can you tell me, Peter, like, you know, just 2017, you wrote the book, right? And 25 character values and how to support teams and coaches to support their teams and bringing those characters to life. You know, so what's kind of, if you reflect back on that, and I know you've done that yourself and you continue to do that, like, could you give us an example of maybe one of the more consistently impactful character traits or character values that has, you know, when you teach this and bring it to life, makes the most impact, and maybe what that looks like as well and how you do that?
Sure. That's a great question, Stephen. One of the things that I've started to share as I do workshops, international workshops or domestic workshops here in the States, working with coaches and athletic departments, is sharing the four pillars of character or the four domains of character. So a lot of times as athletes, as coaches, we focus on performance character, which is one of the four pillars that holds up who we are as a person. Mm-hmm. It's only one. Then there's moral character. Then there's intellectual character. And then there's civic character. So performance is exactly what it sounds like it is. It's your commitment to excellence. Mm-hmm. Your moral character is, this is just a quick synopsis, your moral character is your commitment to integrity, doing things the right way, treating your teammates right. Your intellectual character is your commitment to knowledge, commitment to the truth, commitment to a growth mindset, always looking to grow. And then your civic character is the one that I focus on the most, because this is the one that's most neglected or most underdeveloped, is civic character, which is your impact. And so a lot of people think of civic character as going out in the community and volunteering for Special Olympics, which is great. Special Olympics is an organization close to my heart. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, you know, contribute to the Special Olympics as volunteers and financially as well. So we love the organization. It's terrific to get young people and get teams involved, giving back in community service, in outreach. But what I, more importantly, is the day-to-day, is your impact, your civic impact day to day. So for example, with our athletes here at IMG Academy, they have a roommate. Most of them have a roommate. So how are you positively impacting your roommate? So your using your platform in a positive way. You were a professional athlete in Ireland. And so you had a platform where you have 60,000, 70,000, 100,000 fans cheering you on. So you have that platform where now you can use your abilities, your talents to positively impact young lives. Like you shared that picture of the young fan that you connected with. And so we have a chance. Yeah, I love that. I love that picture. Just being able to positively impact young people's lives.
And true action, Peter, right? Like true, just your role model, your action, you know, without saying a word, you can have a really positive impact. And that's, you know, but sorry, Peter,
I was saying that with civic character is, it could be, you know, it could just be one person. You could have your platform could be just one person right now as a young athlete, but then as you go to higher levels, your platform grows. And so I want to cultivate that, that idea in young people that, you know what, I want to make a positive impact with my talents, with my abilities. And so thinking about civic character, so getting out. So last week we took a group of sophomores to a local elementary school and they gave back and they mentored. And all of our students, high school students, at first they thought they were going to give back to the students, the third and fourth graders at the school, but they realized after they were so grateful, they were thanking me, Coach, thanks so much for taking us there because they got so much out of it. So when we talk about mental health, which is a real issue that we have today, and it's been, you know, mental health has been an issue for decades, for centuries. Mm-hmm. And so how can we help young people feel more of a sense of worth and feel valued, where it's using your platform, civic character, using your platform in a positive way, feeling like you're making a positive impact on the world. And so one activity that I do, I started this 6 years ago when I was a high school head baseball coach, was the first day of practice, we were up in St. Louis where the weather is pretty cold when the season starts, and I'm a baseball coach. And the first day of practice, whether it was rainy, snowy, or a beautiful sunny day, we didn't touch a bat, we didn't touch a glove, we didn't touch a ball. We went out on campus and we went around campus as a team and we picked up trash because we wanted to give back. We wanted to show that our team, it's bigger than baseball, it's bigger than sport. We wanted to give back to our school. We wanted to give back to our community. So I share that example as I've done workshops around the world. And now there's a lot of schools out there that are doing that. Their first day of practice, they sacrifice it, or they're not going to do anything athletically. It's going to be do something in the community to give back. And even better is empower your student athletes. Like, what's a charity with your boys or girls in your team? What's a charity that they're really passionate about? So now we're cultivating that love, that civic character, that love of giving to other people. So that's probably my favorite activity that a lot of coaches around the world have started to grasp onto and say, this is a great way to demonstrate what we're all about as a team. We're about giving to other people. We're about building each other up. We're not just about our own ego. So that's something I love to do, getting kids outside of our doors and giving back.
Yeah, I think that's a really valuable and honorable thing to do, Peter. You know, it's kind of just and to be intentional about it. It's amazing, right? And I can think back on my own experiences. We've done a bit of that with the teams that I've been involved in, but never consistently. Like, you know, it's kind of once offs and stuff, like, you know. So do you have examples where there's more consistency with that, and, you know, in terms of how they build that civic character? And I know it's kind of that's really it's something that the team comes together to do, but is there something more day to day, right, as individuals? And I think you probably would have touched off that already, right? But day to day as a team as well, kind of that awareness of, you know, every day is an opportunity to be a positive influence.
I really appreciate you, Stephen, following up on that, because that's the most important part. You know, we'd love to cultivate that love of giving in our students to where now when they're adults, they're passionate about a certain organization, they're passionate about giving back to the Special Olympics or whatever the case may be. But to your point, way more important is how are they doing this on a daily basis? If you only do a one-off and you do it the first day of the season, but you don't ever do it again, then it really falls by the wayside. So, you know, maybe throughout the year you do another event and you let the student athletes on your team pick what that is. But more importantly is every day finding a way to where not just the captains, but all the players realize that, you know what, you're part of this team, you're valuable, I always share this analogy. It's very cut and dry, very binary, but I think it's true. Is you're either, there's two types of teammates. You're either making the culture of your team. I talk a lot about culture, how important team culture is. You're either making your culture better and lifting it, or you're pushing your culture down by how you show up on a daily basis. There's no in between. You can't be invisible. Yeah. You can't sit in the middle. Yeah. There's no in the middle when it comes to team culture. You're either lifting or you're bringing down. What type of teammate, what type of person are you? So if you're bringing your baggage in there, we all have baggage. We all have stuff, but you know what? You're part of a team. So are you lifting the culture, or is your energy because you're not playing as often as you should, or you have an injury or whatever the case may be? Are you bringing negative energy to the team, or are you maintaining positive energy that's uplifting your team and making your whole environment, your whole culture better?
Yeah. No, team culture is it's pretty close to my work as well. And I know character is a huge part of it too, but I was going to ask a question on team culture, but I might hold it, come back to it, because I want to stay in those four virtues. And I know you shared a kind of, you know, a really strong one in the civic character, but what about the other three, Peter? Would it be okay to kind of just spend a little moment in each virtue and just kind of share an insight into, you know, some of the stuff you do in your workshops and what you do with your teams, like you would have done with the civic character? Because that was really good.
Yeah, I'll start with performance character, which is typically when you ask athletes, if I showed all four, performance, moral, intellectual, and civic, which one do they feel like they operate in most oftenly, especially in sports? And they're going to say performance character because they're so focused. And this is more in the lane of my colleague here, and my colleagues here at IMG Academy. Dr. Lindsay Hamilton is our head of mental performance. And so performance character is more focused on that. It's your commitment to excellence, being the best tennis player, football player, soccer player, whatever it is that you can be. So bringing your best. It might mean that some days you're not going to be feeling great, but you still show up and you show grit, you show tenacity. And I love the word grit because a lot of people think grit is like your passion, but it's really passion and persistence. And you talk to Angela Duckworth, who's one of the true leaders in sport, especially on this topic of grit. She talks about how important it is to have both. If you just have passion, and if you're just passionate about something, or you're committed to it, you're resilient, you're not gonna give up. Now, you might be doing something that you hate, and eventually you're gonna lose that passion. But if you have the passion and the persistence together, now you're going to be able to maintain that. And that's what true grit is. So when you talk about performance character, now that's more of cultivating that commitment to excellence, being the best they can be, that grit, that tenacity, that never give up mentality, you know, having a mantra in your head where you're thinking, you know, this is the type of person I am, and I'm going to compete at the highest level, confidence, believing in yourself. So that's more in the lane of mental performance. The other three are more in my lane. I don't like to use the word lane necessarily, but because there's so much crossover between leadership and character development and mental performance, there's so much crossover.
But
moral character is how you show up on a daily basis. How do you treat your teammates? You know, when you're having a bad day, you've probably seen it, Steve, and I'm sure you have. When you have a teammate who's having a great day, they're a great teammate. You know, they're fun to be around. They're lifting other people. But as soon as, I'll use the example in baseball, which is my sport primarily, is in baseball, if the player's 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and they made an error in the field and they're having a poor day, well, now they're in the dugout throwing their helmet. They're not supporting their teammates. They're not engaged. They've disengaged from the team culture because they're having a bad day. So what type of person are you when you're facing adversity? Are you going to be consistent? How are you going to treat your teammates? How are you going to treat the person who you think is the lowest person talent-wise on the team? And it's so important to be consistent. So that taps into moral character.
You know, what type of person are you when you're facing adversity?
Well, you know, when we face adversity, we all have, it's a challenge. It's challenging to can I show up and be my best? And so the more we understand the four pillars of character, the more we understand ourselves. And that's why with young people, they're still with high school and middle school athletes, they're still building their capacity to their cognitive capacities. And so it's challenging, you know, as you mature, as you get older, I'm a lot better at being able to take control of my emotions and show up and be my best, regardless of how much sleep I've had the night before, regardless of what type of day I'm having. But that's something that takes time. It takes time to understand how to control how you show up. And so, sure, we've all had our moments where nobody's perfect. But realizing that, I'm having a bad day, but I got to show up for my team. There's people relying on me. There's people counting on me. And so I hope I would say that I show up my best in those situations. But obviously the reminders where you surround yourself around other good people. And that's where my nonprofit Character Loves Company came in, or that title came about in the title of my book, because same idea of, or the opposite of Misery Loves Company. So, people that are miserable, yeah, like hang out together and bring each other down. Well, you hang around high character people, and that's one of the things I love being back here.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. Well, you hang around high character people that are going to hold the bar high. It's easy to show up and kind of meet that bar. But if you hang around people where that bar is pushed down low, then it just brings down the whole culture.
Yeah, and I heard some statistics on that. I think if you're sitting in an organization setting, if you sit near a low performer or mediocre performer, it can bring down your performance by 30%, right? And likewise, cool. if you sit near a high performer, it'll level you up, like it'll bring you up. So your environment is really really important in who you surround yourself with. And if you're the kind of average of the five people you spent most time around, I mean, there's something in that, right? And that's been something that's been thrown around for quite a while, right? But there's definitely something in that, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, and Peter, you mentioned, like, it's challenging to show up when things are hard, right? When for you individually that you might have in your home life, things may not be where they should be, and there's a lot of challenges there. And then you have to go and you play a game, or you have to go to work, and you have to go into a very important day there, yeah, and you have to perform. I think there's kind of a couple of things that come to mind for me, right? And I suppose I just share them, and we can have a chat on it. But first one is just an ability to kind of be present with where you are in the moment of where you are, because ultimately your task at hand, and at the end, reflecting back on why things are the way they are back home, or in other situations, maybe someone cut you off in traffic and you're kind of carrying that into the day or whatever it is. I mean, just being present, I think, and anchoring yourself in the moment, using breath work and using other tools, or just having the resilience and the mental toughness to do that is important. But secondly, and I suppose what I wanted to share here more than the first component is your teammates around you have a responsibility as well to support the person that may not be where they should be within the team environment on that given day. Being there for them as a teammate does, and a manager and a leader, coach, understanding their team members so that they can see and spot very easy, just through an energetic way or just through knowing something's off here and just having a conversation, right? So, it goes both ways. You're in that position, you have to have the ownership and accountability to be fully present, to give to the team. But also you're the same person, you look around and you can see other people in your team that may be going through something that's pulling them away. And then you take responsibility and you go, teammates don't ask, they do. So does that kind of ring true for you, Peter?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think about, as you're sharing that, Stephen, I'm thinking about how much that ties back into civic character and, being aware, being aware of your teammates. If they're down, if they're down and out, they don't feel as engaged. So if you're only focused on yourself and you don't have that civic character where you want to make a positive impact on your culture, and it's just about you, you're going to miss those opportunities as a coach. A lot of times you have coaches who maybe aren't in it for the right reason. Maybe they're in it just to, they're here right now, but they want to get promoted to the next level.
I've experienced that in my time, because there's the junior ranks, the under 18 and 60, and they want to be to the senior level, So they're just trying to get through, trying to do well and get through so they can progress. And I think the players then adopt that mindset as well. They're not there for each other as individual. I play well here and I'll get seen. And I'll get, and that's a challenge, I think, in the underage structures. It takes a good coach to override that.
Yeah, then you lose. You can't build culture. If the coaches are, if the coach is looking for his next step, the athletes are all looking for their next step instead of being present where they are. And so I always try to, I don't want to, you know, mix the work that I'm doing around character development and leadership, because I'm looking at really long-term development with the short-term fix. But like I said, there's so much crossover between mental performance and character development and leadership in sports. But one of the things I talk a lot about, Stephen, and I got this idea from a book called, gosh, I'm drawing a blank on it right now, Atomic Habits.
Oh, James Clear,
Atomic Habits. I have it in my bookshelf over here. But there's a, and I kind of adjusted or adapted this model that he has, where in the middle it has, so there's three circles, you know, inside circle, circle around that, circle around that. And what our athletes here at ING Academy and all athletes that I work with over the last few years, I talk a lot, or actually over the last couple decades, I talk a lot about your purpose, being clear to your why, knowing your why. So when I work with coaches, when I work with athletes, I say, if you're a coach and you don't know your purpose, you don't know your why you get up in the morning to coach young people, then you're not going to be impactful because you don't know your purpose. So if you know your purpose in the middle, and then that leads to effective habits, the next ring around that is your habits, your daily practices, the systems that you use to be effective. And so if you have a clear purpose, typically that leads to effective habits and effective systems. And then on the outside are your desired outcomes. So I tell athletes, if you don't know your purpose, there's no way you're going to get your desired outcomes. So, and really the most important thing for young athletes to think about is their daily habits. You know, if they have a bad day, for instance, they have a bad game and they're supposed to go to the weight room after their game or after their practice, but they say, oh, you know what? Their morale is low because they performed poorly. And so they don't have the strong character inside of them and they haven't cultivated that, then they might be prone to skip weights, the weight room.
Yeah.
Or
they
might go to the weight room, but their heart's not there. They're not working very hard because their morale is low. So the more we can keep them focused on their purpose and whatever that purpose is, being very clear with that, now, regardless of what type of performance they had, it's not going to affect their habits. It's not going to affect how they, you know, how they operate on a daily basis. So I talk to young people about cultivating executive functioning. You know, executive functioning. I've heard coaches tell me this, not at IMG, but other places, say, oh, that player, and you may have heard this too as a coach, Stephen, oh, that player just, they lack leadership skills. They lack executive functioning. And I say, and they've been in that coach's program for a full year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years. So always, I always point the finger right back at them and say, okay, so that young man or that young woman's been in your program for 3 years and they lack executive functioning. They lack leadership skills. Is that on them as a high school kid, or is that on you, coaches, or something more you could do? So I don't like to call the coaches out, but sometimes you have to, and have them question their practices or the way they view young people. Young people are malleable. We can help form them. We can help build them. But if we write them off as, oh, they're not, they lack those executive functioning skills. So a lot of what I try to do is provide athletes with frameworks, ways of thinking. So I love that model of purpose in the middle, habits around that, which leads to your desired outcomes. When their backs are up against the wall, if they can come back to that simple framework, all it is three circles. You know, we like to keep it simple. If you can rely back or lean back on those three circles, you're going to get you're going to work yourself through that tough day, and you're going to stay connected, and you're going to get better that day, rather than you know, step away from your from what fuels you, what drives you, and now you miss out on an opportunity to get better that day.
And Peter, you know, it starts with purpose. You know, purpose is the anchor, the foundation, and then the habits and the rituals and the tenacity to do the right thing, and processes ultimately impact then on the outcome you're looking to achieve, which is the high performance and consistency in performance. But it comes back to the deep why and purpose within yourself. So my sense is that is, and my experience is, that's not an easy thing to get clarity around, you know, ultimate clarity. So how do you kind of, like, is there any insight or even for the listeners that are listening in around how they might understand and unpack and get clarity around their own way, their own purpose?
Yeah, that's a great question. It has to be authentic. It can't be my purpose. I can't just take your purpose. It has to be my purpose. And so, like I said, I've had a chance to work with 18 NFL pathway players that are here from all over the world, Ireland, England, one's from Dominican Republic. And we talk a lot about purpose. And all their purposes are different. You know, it might be somebody in your life. One of these young men talked about his mom, the impact his mom had in his life and how that fuels him. And so he and I made a connection because of my mom. You know, it might be about, making it successfully so that you can provide for your family financially. Everybody has a different why. It might be religious. It might be spiritual. But it has to be something that's true to you. If I tell somebody, hey, this is my why and it should be your why also, it's not going to ring true to them. It's not going to be authentic to them. So helping, carving. So I guess the way to do this as coaches is carve out time. You have to be willing to give up some practice time to sit down one-on-one with players. There's nothing better. The research shows from a character development standpoint, there's nothing more impactful than an adult role model sitting down one-on-one with a young man or a young woman on their team and mentoring and listening to them and asking them, what is it? What is your purpose? What is it that fuels you? How can I help support that? Not only are you helping them think about their purpose and their future, but you're also building that relationship. And we always talk about, young people don't care what we know. They don't care what level we played at professionally or college or whatever until they know that we care about them. So once you build a relationship of care and trust, then you can make an impact in their lives. And so it's building those relationships. It's carving out time during practice. And I started doing this. You know, coaches are like, well, I only have 2.5 hours for practice. I don't have time for that. I'm like, you don't have time to not do it, because when you have a bad culture, if you don't build your culture right and take time to build, carve out time during practice to build culture where you have players get into groups. Maybe you have at the start of the season, you might have seniors in high school, 12th graders and ninth graders on the same team. So now you pair them up and now they start to learn about each other, start to respect each other, start to understand each other, start to learn from each other. The more we can empower them to do that, now you're building strong culture. But a lot of coaches say, no way, day one, we're going right into it and we don't have time to do all this, what they call soft skills. But those soft skills, that cultivation is so important, because when it comes to culture, when your culture goes bad, your season is basically a wash.
But it impacts in life then, Peter, doesn't it? Like you're a negative, being part of a negative environment and a negative culture, it just impacts you in all aspects of life then. You know, you carry that with you, right? And likewise, good culture, right? If you're a great team, a good culture, like, you know, you'll find your life will elevate with that, right? Or your life will, you know, go down with that. So it's really important. The culture is one of the most important enablers to performance. You know, and I think that's fundamentally, I think that there is a shift in that now. I sense a shift in that, an understanding of investing in that area, bringing in culture coaches and performance coaches to support, you know, culture and team culture is definitely happening more and more. And I know we're just having a quick chat about it now, but, you know, building the connection and strengthening the connection between team members is a huge part of it. I know there's always at different levels within the team of older experienced guys, maybe guys that are there kind of, you know, good few years and have a good understanding and, you know, kind of anchored in the middle. And then you have the newer kind of younger recruits coming through, and it's kind of bringing them all together and understanding the power of each of those levels. Cause without one, you know, you're going to be struggling, right? So you need to tap into the positive of each of those areas. And I know that's one aspect of it, right? So is there any other key components of building a great culture from your experience, Peter, that you always give that time to when you're working with a team?
Yeah. It really is. It's exactly that. It's carving out time in practice, the end of practice, the beginning of practice for them to connect, you know, with your coaches too. You know, as a head coach, a lot of times the head coaches want to kind of dictate everything. So empowering your coaches, you know, to have autonomy where they can build these relationships with the athletes as well. Empowering your captains. I talk a lot about cross-age mentoring. So you have 12th graders and ninth graders together where they're building those relationships of trust. But, you know, the more time you spend on culture on the front end of your season, the more it's going to pay off when it comes playoff times. But if you skip that time because you're so anxious to get into it, you're so anxious to getting into the X's and O's instead of, you know, the saying, the X's and O's instead of the Jimmies and the Joes, you know, caring about the kids first before you get into the X's and O's. You got to build those relationships. I'll tell you a quick story if we have time here. My best coach I ever had. So I played 9 years professionally. I had come from a family of 11 professional baseball players in the major leagues. And the best coach I ever had. So I played for Tommy Lasorda, who was the Los Angeles Dodgers Hall of Fame manager for just a brief bit. And he was very, very motivational. I mean, one of the best motivators. But the best coach I ever played for was my high school basketball coach. He was amazing. I mean, he built that rapport. His door was open at lunch. We'd come in there. The basketball players, the football players, the baseball players would come in and just hang out with him, get to know him. You know, it was still, there was always that relationship of he's, you know, Coach Hall, and we're the players. We weren't buddies. You know, we weren't like trying to, he wasn't trying to be our friend. He wanted to be our mentor. You know, he wanted to be a role model. And sometimes nowadays, and you probably see this as well, Stephen, is that sometimes young coaches or older coaches, they want to be cool. They want to be liked. They want to be friends with the athletes instead of, you know, I'm here to be their mentor. I'm here to be a role model for them. And I'm here to hold them accountable. When you're trying to be their friends, it's hard to hold them accountable. But when you're there and you realize that your purpose is to make a positive impact in their lives, going back to how important purpose is, then you're there to hold them accountable. And they respect you a lot more when you do that. When you do hold them accountable, they might not like it right now. They might not like it this season, but 10 years down the road, they're going to remember you. And so all of my basketball, high school basketball buddies, we still stay in touch with Coach Hall because the impact he had in our lives was amazing. We weren't that great. We weren't very good. You know, it wasn't about that. It was about.
But he got the best out of you, Peter, right? Like he got the best out of you, you know, in terms of what you're capable of. And you know
he
that.
Got the best out of us. Absolutely. And we just love showing up to practice. We would run through a wall for him. And I don't really love that term, but we really would because we knew he cared about us. But he took time to build those. I mean, he could have closed his door at lunch. I mean, he was a history teacher, you know, so he's teaching all day. He's probably tired. You know, he maybe wants to close his door during lunch and just take a nap or shut his eyes or put on a podcast or whatever. But but he would always have his door open for us, you know. And so as coaches, finding ways to have that door open, you know, metaphorically for students to come and talk with you and chat with you and build those relationships is so important.
Yeah, being approachable, you know, and I think when you think about coaches and leaders and everybody really, you're always, you know, as human beings, you kind of reflect on it through a couple of questions. Firstly, you're always looking at, does this person care about me, right? Does coach care about me? Does whoever it is in conversation care about me? Does, you know, that's the first one. And then second one is, okay, are they good at what they do, right? Are they good? Do they have confidence here? Right? Can, you know, and then the last question then is, can I trust them? And it's only when you care and, you know, you're committed to excellence in what you're doing, does trust follow suit then, you know? So I think definitely from what I'm hearing from your perspective is that that coach, your basketball coach, he had all of those things, you know, he was yes to all those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. If I could, Stephen, I'd love to share a framework that I use, and I've shared this with all of our coaches here at IMG Academy. It's what my doctoral dissertation was on, and I'm actually writing a second book with one of the world's leaders in character education, Dr. Marvin Berkowitz, and then another world leader in character development and sports, Dr. David Shields. So we're co-authoring a book right now. It should be out, I don't know, in August or so, but it's based on this PRIMED principle. So it's a PRIMED framework. It's an acronym, P-R-I-M-E-D, PRIMED. And the P stands for prioritization. What are you prioritizing? But it also stands for purpose. What is your purpose as a coach? The R stands for relationships. Are you building relationships of trust on a daily basis? How are you doing that? How are you providing time to do that? The I stands for intrinsic motivation. Are you cultivating players loving the sport that they're playing for good reasons, for intrinsic reasons, for being a better teammate, learning life skills that are going to help them be successful later in life? Or are you only about winning? Are you only about winning today? Or the extrinsic motivators, the scholarships, the trophies, the rings, all that stuff, which is not bad, but you should prioritize intrinsic motivation. M, the M in PRIME stands for modeling. Are you modeling the behavior that you want to see in your players? Are you a strong role model? The E stands for empowerment. Are you empowering your athletes to be leaders? Are you carving out time for them to lead? And then the D stands for developmental pedagogy or long-term development. Are we in it for the long haul? Are we just in it to win the championship this season where you might sacrifice a player playing injured because they shouldn't be out on the field, but you want to win so badly? So are you in it for the long haul for these kids that you work with to be successful later in life? Are you just in it for right now? And so I love the framework, and I learned about it probably 5 years ago, and I share it with everybody I can, because that's what our book, our new book coming out soon, is going to be all about, is primed for coaching for character. So are we primed as a coach? Are we doing all these things? And all of it's rooted in 40 years of research. It's not somebody who just came up with this idea. All of it's rooted in 40 years of research on what works in character education. It's a great model for coaches of all ages to keep them grounded on what's important.
And even for leaders and organizations, Peter, right? I mean, everything we're sharing here and everything we're talking about is relative to anybody that is leading or is coaching or mentoring another group or another person. So whether that's leading a team, leading an individual, whatever way, shape, or form. So it's kind of really, really powerful stuff, you know, and even for parenting, you know, as a parent. And I mean, we might just touch on that, Peter, because I know you've got young kids and so do I. You know, and your father, I suppose, role model very well for you as being the coach for your one of your teams that you were on. But is there any uniqueness in our conversation that we need to focus on or just shine a light on for parents?
Yeah, I'm really glad you opened the door for this to talk about parents, because a lot of times I have parents approach me and say, I want to support my kid, but anytime, you know, this is usually kids that are 13 to 18 years old in that range. They say, I want to support my kid, bring them to their games, their matches, their sporting events, but it seems like anything I try to say or any feedback I try to give to them, it creates friction and conflict. And so I said, the best thing you can do, and it goes back to that car ride home. There's a study on the car ride home and what kids remember the most when they're now in their 30s or 40s. And their worst memory of their sports career was the car ride home, where dad and mom are just, you know, bombarding them with, you should have done this better, you should have done that better, you should have done that better. And parents, when they talk to me about this, they say, well, I want to be helpful. I think my comments can help. I always tell parents, you have coaches. If you want to be the coach, put a whistle on, volunteer to coach, or sign up to coach. But your son or your daughter is playing on a team that already has a coach. And so the best thing that parents can say is, and I say this with my own kids, I played professional baseball, come from the family background that I did. My wife is a good athlete as well. When our kids get done with their games, all we say is, I loved watching you play. You know, I loved watching you play.
That's a great line. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you leave it at that. And then there's usually quiet. And then the kids will say, well, what did you like? What did I? And then now they're asking, now they're the ones driving the conversation. They're the ones driving their career. Instead, right now, it's a lot of parents living vicariously through their children, and they're putting extra pressure. They're not meaning to. Yeah. The intentions of parents are always good, I think. They're not meaning to do that, but all they're doing is putting more pressure. So the best thing you can say is, high five, I loved watching you play. You know, obviously, if they had a bad game, you realize they had to put your arm around them and say, hey, you're all right. You'll get them next time. But I loved watching you play. It's the best thing a parent can say to their child after a match, after a game, and then just kind of zip it up. You're going to be tempted to say more and give them, yeah, well, you could have done this better. You could have done that better. Let the kids, it's their athletic career. Let them drive it. You know, I get they're younger, you kind of have to, when they're 8 years old, you might have to get them there. You might have to say, hey, you know what? You signed up for this team. Let's keep going until the end of the season. But once they get to a certain age, 13, 14 years old, if it's not their passion to play, it's going to be just an uphill battle. So let them drive the conversation. Let them drive their career.
I love that. I loved watching you play. I mean, that's anchored, you know, for me as a parent now. I mean, I'll never forget that. You know, so thanks for sharing that, Peter. I really appreciate it. And I definitely know that it's going to inspire a lot of parents, because it can be tough to know what to say or what not to say. And I think you mentioned that a lot of hardship or a lot of, I suppose, parents can cause a negative impact within their, because obviously the parent's voice is the most important voice for a child. And for, you know, as a 12-year-old, you're still a child, right? So, or 13. So, you know, in those moments in the car when you might be critical or criticize or, you know, talk down to a child or to your kid because of not playing the way you want them to play or whatever, that can have a long-term impact on that child's development, right, and how they face constructive, challenging conversations and criticism and how to deal with that. So I think that's it is. And just what I'm trying to do here, Peter, is just shine a light on the importance of this, you know.
Yeah, I'll take that and run with that, because you see two things that come out of parents who are too overbearing with their children in sports. Is one, it puts more pressure, as we talked about, on the kids, and now they maybe drop out. We're seeing children across America, probably across the world, who are dropping out of sports because of the additional pressures that they feel, whether they're real pressures or they're not, but they feel those pressures, so they're deciding to leave sports prematurely. And then the other side of it is, as a parent of three children, obviously if they become professional athletes, if that's what they want to do, awesome. Or they want to play in college, or I don't want to put any pressure on them at all. I want them to do what they love. But if you want to maintain a relationship with your children, and I've seen a lot of parents fray that relationship, their intentions are good. Their intentions are pure to help their children. But because of the pressures they put on, now all of a sudden they have this relationship where they're spreading this direction instead. Let's use sports as a vehicle to bring us together, you know, to support your children versus the divide, where now the kids are crying after games and they feel so much pressure. So that's one thing I feel bad for parents, because they want the best intentions, but it's almost like me in golf. Whenever I try to, it's counterintuitive. Whatever correction I think I have to make with my golf swing, it makes my slice even worse. And so as parents, keep it simple. You know, keep it simple. Just focus on supporting them. Don't have to be their coach. They already have a coach. And so the goal for a parent should be, I want my kid to play the sport at the highest level they can if they love it. And then I want to have a great relationship with my child. But I see so many parents, dads and moms both, who the pressure they put, now all of a sudden it creates this divide and friction with their child instead of supporting them.
Peter, so that's really, really insightful. Just one question I have, right? And I want to talk about leadership as well, right? Before that, and if let's say you've got somebody, let's say, that maybe might be resentful towards their parents because of, you know, they left the sport that they loved because they couldn't deal with their parents' criticism or just the pressure they were to put on them, or vice versa, right? Maybe they stayed and they've got that inner voice of being too hard on themselves or whatever it might be, right? Like, is there any, Giovanni, any words of knowledge or insight or wisdom or support for those people that might be listening into the podcast?
Yeah, that's one of the best questions I've ever been asked, because, you know, we talk a lot about how parents can be better, but, you know, as athletes, as young athletes, student athletes, you know, I say student athletes because I always like to emphasize the academics before the athletics. But, you know, if you're in that boat, if you're maybe you're 25 years old, 30 years old, you're in that boat where, you know, because of the pressure you felt from your parents, you went away from sports, you left sports. Well, you know, there's a concept that I work with our athletes here at IMG Academy on, is just self-forgiveness and forgiveness in general. How important, when we talk about character, we talk about virtues, cultivating virtues, and being able to forgive. And if you realize, if you show some empathy, and, you know, parenting, as a parent myself, parenting is not easy. You always want what's best for your kids, but sometimes the decisions you make, aren't the best thing, because emotions get involved. You know, when you don't maintain control of your emotions. And so to work to forgive, that your dad or mom that put that extra pressure, or you felt that extra pressure, at the end of the day, I think 99.9% of parents, if not 100%, they want what's best for their children. And they were, the pressure that they put was because they wanted to see you be at your best. You know, so in my dad, you know, growing up, my dad was a high level athlete. So he, you know, I feel like he put a little bit of pressure on us to perform, but I feel like we're closer now than ever. You know, it was one of those things where I felt like it was probably more of me, you know, me feeling like, because I came from a family of so many professional athletes, that I put additional pressure on myself. It probably wasn't from my dad or my family. It was just, you know, put on by myself. And to realize that, you know, they just want what's best for you. And they were trying to push you to be your best. And so to understand that it might take that individual listening, who's in their 20s or so, for them to have children, to see that it is hard. You know, parenting is challenging. And so to realize that, you know what, give a little leeway. You know, your parents wanted what's best for you. And I get sometimes parents can be overbearing and overwhelming, but to realize that their intent, if you focus back on their intent, you empathize and put yourself in their shoes and say, you know what, they wanted me to be great. They wanted me to be my best. And to extract out of that why you're successful now, maybe because of that resilience, maybe because of that toughness, maybe because of that courage, maybe because of that never give up mentality, maybe because of that work ethic. So a lot of who we are, even if we didn't like it at the time, a lot of who we are, the strength of who we are was formed because our parents pushed us.
Yeah.
And so
and there's a gift in narration. Yeah.
There's ways that parents can do it in a better way, a more effective way, where we don't burn those relationships. We keep those relationships strong and still push them to be their best. And there's a balance there for sure. And there's no recipe, there's no silver bullet for it. But it comes back to the R in primed, which we've talked a lot about today, the relationships. It comes back to healthy relationships. And what are you prioritizing? As a parent, are you prioritizing your kid being a major leaguer, or are you prioritizing your kid being healthy and their wellness and their confidence and their self-esteem being the priority?
We're conscious of time, right? So if I was to ask one more question,
sure.
You know, just on leadership, right? Because I know you're the head of leadership development and character development. So how do you support people and the athletes in IMG to develop and enhance their leadership skills or their leadership in general, right? Be better leaders. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I read a lot on leadership. I'm very passionate about this topic. I have been even going back to my professional career. And, you know, there's some people that think that leadership is in your DNA. And there's a lot of people that think that leadership can be cultivated. I think it's both. You might have a certain limit or capacity. I don't like to limit anybody. But I think what I focus on with our athletes here is self-leadership. You know, everybody wants to lead. Everybody wants to be a captain of a team. Everybody wants to be seen as the leader whose voice carries and whose voice matters. When they open their mouth, people listen. Everybody wants to be that person, or a lot of people do, but they don't take the steps to earn that. So I always talk about, you have to be able to lead yourself. The number one thing, we have a pyramid that kind of, I took this from John Wooden's Pyramid of Success.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
At the bottom is your purpose. And then I have in there the four pillars of character. At the very top of that pinnacle of that pyramid is your best self. Try to be your best, always striving to be your best self. So if we can't lead ourselves, then there's no way anybody else is going to follow us. So if our habits, going back to the three circles, purpose, habits, desired outcomes, if our habits are not consistent with who we are, and we tell our friends we want to do this, but yet we're going out and we're doing stuff outside of practice that we shouldn't be doing. We're staying up all night playing video games when we have a big game the next day. We're not treating our teammates the right way. We're being disrespectful to officials. Well, if we're not leading ourselves, why would anybody follow us? Mm. So from a leadership standpoint, we focus a lot more on self-leadership. And then we also work on team leadership and culture building. But before you can lead a group, you have to be able to lead yourself and be consistent with how you live your life.
Yeah, that's fundamental. That's where it starts. It's like, if you do the circle analogy again, right? The center is leadership of self, then leadership of others and teams, and then leading organization and cultures. And
yeah,
but amazing, Peter, right? So Peter, is where can people learn more about you, your work, find your book, Characters Company, and just, be able to, hear from you more regularly if there's any platform you have. So where can we get that? Where can we find that?
Yeah. So feel free to reach out to me via email. My email address is my first name dot my last name at imgacademy.com. You can pick up a copy of Character Loves Company, the book. It's on Amazon. And then our new book, as I said, is Primed for Coaching for Character, but it probably won't be out until for another 5 or 6 months. But look for that as well. Let's see what else. I don't do a whole lot of social media. Maybe I should start doing more. but
definitely should.
Yeah, I
You're busy, Peter, right? How many athletes? 18,000 athletes inside the IMG you've got. You're leading, right, in your character development. So that's a lot of people that, you know, you've taken take your time. So I'd imagine that.
Yeah, I love that. I love the face-to-face interaction. You know, so impactful is getting a chance to build these relationships with young people. So, yeah, but if anybody wants to reach out, share my email address and
put it in the show notes. I'll put all of everything in the show notes that you shared there, and all the links to all the stuff you have, and kind of, you know, your email as well. If you wanted to, we could put that in there too, Peter. And listen, look, is there any last message, Peter, you have, like any last, you know, just anybody listening about who they are, whether they're an athlete, whether they're a coach, whether they're a human being just in life struggling at the moment or even doing well, anything at all, this is, you know, what's your kind of key message you want to share?
Yeah, thank you. I would say, Stephen, that you're more than your performance. A lot of times who we think we are and our value, our self-worth is wrapped up around in our performance. So as a baseball player, as a football player, whatever the sport is, you play well, you value yourself more. Don't get caught up in that trap. You're so much more. That's why the four pillars of character are so important. You could have a bad day performance-wise, but civic character, you can make a huge impact in the lives of people around you. So don't get caught up in valuing and seeing yourself solely by your performance. And then to coaches, I would say, coaches, you have such an awesome opportunity to make a life-lasting impact in young people's lives. So prioritize character, put it front and center, carve out time and practice to build team culture, to build one-on-one relationships with your players, because it's gonna stick with them for the rest of their lives.
You know, look, I mean, as you're speaking here now, I'm thinking about all the people I'm going to send this to, you know, whether they're coaches, whether they're people I would train with, you know, athletes. So I'm definitely going to do that directly. I'm excited for this to be released. And look, thanks so much for coming on. And it was great to talk to you, man. It was great to connect. I think you're doing such exceptional work from the right. You mentioned intention a lot and purpose throughout the conversation. I think your purpose and your intention is clear to see. And, you know, it's amazing that you're in the position you are, and you have the platform you have in IMG and beyond with your books. And I know that's going to grow, so that you continue to make your impact in a real humble, authentic, courageous and persistent way, right, with high passion. So listen, I just want to say, great to speak with you, Peter, and look, I'm you know, I'm sure we speak again. I've no doubt we will, right? So thanks for coming on, really appreciate it.
For sure, Stephen, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Okay guys, that was a really good conversation. I want to just double down on one thing that Pete said, which was, when you know, when you think about, you're a parent of a child getting into the car after a game, or whether it's a big presentation one of your team members had and you're the leader of the team, you know, or you're a coach or a manager or a coach, one of your guys comes back, you know, and it's like, I really loved watching you play. I really loved watching your game. I really enjoyed watching your presentation. Do you know, and then leaving that bit of silence, I suppose, and then it's the question that they would ask after, or what they, you know, how they'd invite you in after is where you can make an impact with them more so than any other way, in terms of how you can help them harvest their learnings from their experience and whatever it was that they did in those conversations, those coaching conversations. And I think that initial, I really love watching you play, or you know, that initial kind of opening sentence or statement is kind of really powerful. So that was one thing there that really resonated, amongst others, the four domains of character. There's a lot there, guys. So listen, please take the learnings of this. Even one thing, put it into action, and also do share it with people who feel would get a lot of value from this. I definitely have shared it with a couple of guys already that I know will. And all good, guys. Listen, all good. Got another couple of conversations coming up that are going to be powerful. And I hope you can stay tuning in. And if you like it, please share. Please leave a rating and all of the above. And I'll see you on the other side.